Tuesday, May 13th. The first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. Those who had been scattered by the persecution that arose because of Stephen went as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but Jews. There were some Cypriots and Cyrenians among them, however, who came to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks as well, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to go to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced and encouraged them all to remain faithful to the Lord in firmness of heart, for he was a good man, filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. And a large number of people was added to the Lord. Then he went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a large number of people, and it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. Haydock Commentary. Ever since Christ's ascension, this church has been clearly seen. Of her ministers, their preaching has been open, their sacraments visible, their discipline visible, their persecutions visible, their wonderful increase visible, and their manifestly divine protection visible and known to all the world. Whilst all that have separated themselves by schism from this venerable body have fallen into discredit and most into complete oblivion. The Catholic Church was the first, and it will be the last. At Antioch, the disciples were first named Christians when St. Paul and St. Barnabas were preaching there. Before that, they were called the disciples of Jesus and sometimes Nazarenes or perhaps Galileans. This honorable name of Christians distinguished them from Gentiles and Jews and from all heretical sects, who generally had some name from the authors of such sects, as Simonites, Cerinthians, Nicolaites, etc. The faithful had also after some time the name of Catholics, being taught in the Apostles' Creed to believe in the Catholic Church. And St. Augustine in several places takes notice that no heretics could ever get themselves called by this name, nor can they to this present day. Whosoever is of the true faith of Christ may justly say, Christian is my name, Catholic my surname, a greater honor and a greater advantage than to be of any royal family. It is not certain whether they took the name of Christian themselves, or it was given them out of disrespect by the pagans. Galileans was a term of reproach likewise given to the Christians. St. Peter in his first epistle uses the appellation of Christians, but it does not appear that St. Paul ever did in any of his writings. The name of Christian should be common to all the faithful, and all other new names of sectaries abhorred. If you hear, says St. Jerome, any where such as are said to be of Christ, not to have their name from Christ, but from some other, as Marcionites, Valentinians, Lutherans, etc., know that they belong not to the Church of Christ, but to the synagogue of Antichrist. By this term Catholic, the apostles in their creed have distinguished the one true visible church from all and every other congregation, sect, or party. This mark is so self-evident that St. Augustine hesitates not to say, in the lap of the church the very name Catholic keepeth me. Again, in his book on the utility of believing, he says, if after these troubles of mind you still are tossed and vexed and wish for peace, follow the way of Catholic discipline, which from Christ himself by the apostles hath proceeded even unto us, and shall proceed from hence to the latest posterity. The Gospel from John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. The feast of the dedication was taking place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus walked about in the temple area on the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. Haydock Commentary. St. John the Baptist had told them several times who Jesus was. Christ himself had not only owned it in plain terms to the Samaritan woman, John 4:26, but he had frequently delivered this truth so openly to them that he came from heaven, that he was sent into the world that all men should be saved by believing in him, that he was the Son of God and one with the Father, that they easily perceived he made himself God. But these men would have him to declare it again, that they might accuse him. The works and miracles that I do in the name of my Father, they give testimony of me and show who I am, being foretold by the prophets. You are not of my sheep because you refuse to believe in me and follow my doctrine because of your own willful blindness. Christ here says that his sheep hear his voice and follow him. But let us ask ourselves, do we cling close to this heavenly shepherd? Do we follow him both by our faith and by our lives? Do we know him and hear his voice? Do we fly from strangers, the world, the flesh, and the devil? If so, we are his sheep indeed, And if we persevere, he will bring us, in spite of the world, the flesh, and the devil, to the pastures of eternal life. But if we run away from our shepherd to follow these strangers, we must expect to fall a prey to wolves. They shall not perish forever, and no man shall snatch them out of my hand. He here speaks of his elect, of those whom he called by a special providence and mercy, whom he blessed with more than ordinary graces, and with the gift of final perseverance to the end in his grace. No one can snatch or pull them by force out of the hand of the Father. He had just said before, no one shall or can snatch them out of my hand. And this shows that the hand, that is the power of the Father and the Son, is equal, is one and the same. I and the Father are one, or one being, not one person, nor one by a union of affection only, but in nature, substance, power, and other perfections. Christ here tells them that none of his elect shall perish, because no one can snatch them out of his hands, no more than out of the hands of his Father, and then adds that he and his Father are one, or have one equal power. And if their power, says St. John Chrysostom, is the same, so is their substance. Christ adds that the Father is in him and he in the Father, which also shows a union of nature and substance, and not only of love and affection.